This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show.
Hey, it's Dan Olds, and back here for another edition of Radio Free HPC. With us, as always, are Rich Bruckner and Henry S. Newman. Say hi, guys.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Henry.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Rich.
Good to speak with you again.
Two-thirds of us are finally back in the United States. Rich and I were both over at ISC last week. Hot week in Germany, eh, Rich?
Oh, yeah. It was very warm with little air conditioning and no ice. So
yes.
There you go. Yeah.
That probably impacts all the machines on the floor and in terms of not being able to cool everything.
Well, I think the machines were definitely a contributing factor in the hall, plus the very, very warm weather.
Well, if it's like supercomputing, did you have Wi-Fi on the floor? Did it work?
It worked, but it didn't work well.
Pretty much
yeah.
A typical big conference. Nothing works well.
ISC people brought in their own IT person to take over, I think, on the second day, and that aided things considerably. Fortunately, I went over and snagged a hardwire connection through the student cluster people and the kind folks at the HPC Advisory Council.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, Dan. You spent a good portion of your time, it seemed, over at the student cluster. We had a overall winner that was a bit of a surprise, wasn't it?
I would have to say it's the biggest upset in student cluster competition history, Rich.
Oh.
And it's not without any hyperbole.
Well, yeah, because you've been running that wagering site, so these guys were not the odds-on favorites out of South Africa?
Ooh, no.
No.
Most of the insiders expected the Chinese powerhouse Tsinghua team to win.
Yeah.
In fact, they were trying for their four-peat. They'd won the last three competitions they'd entered. They were doing very well, in fact. Kind of an interesting competition. Had eight teams total, a couple from Europe, a couple from the U.S., Colorado and Purdue. From Europe, Chemnitz and Edinburgh, a couple of teams from China, then South Africa and Costa Rica.
Interesting.
Yeah, Costa Rica, second time that they've come. But a nice bunch of kids, in fact, too. The interesting thing is that only three teams managed to make it through all the scientific applications. So tough lineup.
What was so difficult? They changed the data cases? They changed the version? What?
I think it was probably the data sets were difficult, and a couple of the surprise applications, they threw in CP2K and AMG, and that looked to throw some teams for a little bit of a loop, too.
What were they having, compiler issues on some of the new technologies, or what, Dan?
All over the map. Don't really know. They weren't being very specific about it.
Well, that actually would be a really good post-mortem interview kind of thing to find those questions out, is what are the challenges that people face when you do these kinds of things? And these are probably real-world challenges that that'd be good feedback for the vendors.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, what I'll try and do is get the people that judge those applications on a call and do a little podcast and post it over at studentclustercomp.com. That's a good idea, Henry. The overall winner by just a hair, by a 1% difference, was the South African team.
Well, and Dan, they ran all the cases, correct?
They did. One of three teams
did.
That made it.
Is the judging different between the three shows?
It's different in terms of the people that do it. What they typically do at each of these is they have a quote-unquote application expert that will set up the data set and do the judging as well.
So if the South Africans come to supercomputing, for example, is the judging methodology the same at supercomputing at the Chinese show at everywhere else?
Pretty much the same. You're going to have different judges. What they do is have application experts set up the data sets, and then those same folks are usually there to do the judging afterwards. So there's a known data set.
All right. Well, that's the application side of it, but there are other parts of the judging. And what are the percentages the same between all of them?
Percentages vary. There's an interview where a group of judges will go from booth to booth and talk to the students to make sure that they understand the applications and what their systems are doing and the science behind the applications. And the weight put on that can vary anywhere from 20% to 40%. It is. And the competitions tinker with that every year, it seems like. Because the thing is that you don't want students to just come in knowing how to go through and make an application work by rote. You want to make sure that they've actually done the homework to learn about what the application does, why it's important.
Now, do all of them have to know this, or just, a subset?
All the team has to know that, but they typically interview them in a group, so it doesn't mean that every single kid knows every single thing, because most of the teams split up the workload so that they'll have a specialist or two on Wharf, for instance, then another kid specializing on Growmax. But it was an exciting competition.
Well, Dan, I did get a chance to talk to Happy Sitole from South Africa, and I asked him what the difference was, how did they edge it out. And he said that their team was the only one that was able to accelerate or take advantage of accelerators
on applications besides LINPACK.
In fact, two other of the applications. So he said that was the performance difference.
Well, they didn't really have access to it very much then, and they didn't have their actual hardware until the day after everybody else did. And if I'm looking at the results that I have, they didn't sweep all the applications.
Hmm.
So they weren't the only ones that were managed to accelerate their
Wharf will easily accelerate.
It will. It accelerates fine. They split Wharf with Tsinghua.
Well, is there a difference in the type of accelerators used on these different teams?
We had two teams, Colorado and Purdue, and this, by the way, was the first time they'd ever used accelerators. As I said, it was them discovering fire. They were using Phi exclusively. Everybody else was using either a MIX or NVIDIA Keplers. There's one team, Chemnitz, from Germany, that had what I call the coffee table of doom. They essentially had a coffee table, and under it were four workstations. Each of the workstations had two Phis and two NVIDIAs in the same box.
That's a lot of heat.
That's a hell of a lot of heat, and as it turns out, it's a lot of power draw, more than they anticipated, and they weren't able to get them idled down as low as they hoped. But that was a very interesting configuration.
Well, okay, so that's the student cluster competition. What about the rest of the show, Dan? What stood out as far as news from the show for you?
Well, I guess the big news was probably Milky Way or Tiani 2, but we talked about that in our last podcast. Other than that, there wasn't a whole hell of a lot of big news that I remember seeing.
Yeah. But there were a lot of press releases.
Lots of press releases. But actual news?
Not so much. I mean, we knew about the Chinese system about 6 weeks prior to the show. And the number one question I got asked by vendors is, what's the big news you've heard? Like maybe I have gathered something that they hadn't, because they were grasping.
I didn't hear a whole lot. Now, I saw some pretty interesting futures, but nothing announced.
Yeah. So it just might be the time in the news cycle you had to put something out, like Henry's saying. But I think everyone's holding off for November in the HPC world.
And I think it has to do with development cycle, Rich. I mean, you can't develop things necessarily, twice a year for shows. So you just throw out a bunch of press releases.
Yeah. Yeah. There weren't really any interesting pre-announcements, though, that I remember. Nothing big and incredibly newsworthy.
No. And, maybe it has to do with, we had Kepler come out earlier. And, Intel's Haswell announcement was about PCs a couple weeks ago.
Right.
It wasn't about servers and HPC systems. So
where's ISC next year, guys?
Same place.
Back to
Leipzig. So,
well, is it there forever now?
For the foreseeable future, I think so.
Yeah, I'm guessing at least two more years. They typically sign 3-year contracts.
I heard a lot of grumblings
Well, it's the first year in a new town, and they did put out a press release of all things, but saying, "Hey, we're gonna get the kinks out." And
I mean, the heat is what made it bad for me, and an unfortunate hotel selection. But I didn't think that the hall was all that far to get to. That wasn't a big problem. It was like 15-minute tram ride.
Yeah, and there were some travel issues. Berlin Airport is all messed up.
Oh.
So it was tough to get to this town. I spent an extra 48 hours there, not by choice. But again, the weather was a factor. And Leipzig itself, in defense of Leipzig, it's a
nice
beautiful
little town
with a
yeah.
lovely downtown, lots of nightlife. So yeah, I'm looking forward to coming
Rich,
back.
Rich, you had airplane problems or?
Yeah, my flight was canceled leaving Leipzig and.
Oh, you flew into Leipzig.
Yeah.
Oh no. No.
Yeah.
I flew into Berlin and took the fast train down.
Yeah, so I'll probably look at an option like that next year. And avoid this because there aren't that many flights out of this town. So
no.
if there's something canceled, they just don't have the capacity to get you out the same day to anywhere reasonable to the U.S. So lesson learned.
The train was good, fast, and comfortable, but Tegel Airport in Berlin is no picnic.
Yeah, and aren't they building a new one, a whole new airport out there?
God, I hope so.
Well, guys, we're going to Denver next time. Well, I guess we'll get together.
Yeah, and I guess I should remind people that housing is now open, housing registration, and if you want to get anywhere near that convention center, I would get something booked and remind folks that Denver hotels are going to cost quite a bit more than what we saw in Salt Lake.
Oh, yeah.
So just be
already,
prepared
already
for that.
Been there, done that.
You already locked something down.
Yeah, I got it locked. I'm locked in.
And actually, what I'm going to do this year for the booth is just bring a 10x10 travel trailer and move that in. And I think I'll be fine. I've got a little chemical toilet in it and a little
with
kitchenette.
With a popper top or not?
It's a pop out.
That's what I was wondering.
So I've got so during the day, I'll pull the sides in. But at night, I can pop it out. I don't think anybody will care. And as long as I can find a shower somewhere for at least one or maybe two of the days, I should be fine.
Dan, you can rent my shower during the day in my room.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. That's perfect. And I've got the 24-hour pass there because I'll be doing the student cluster competition.
Yeah, and those kids are in there 24 hours as it is.
Yeah, so. And I've actually then got a whisper suite.
Really?
Mm. Well, inside the RV, I mean the little camper.
Oh, okay. Right.
The only thing I've got to figure out is getting one light enough that I could pull it in and out myself because
Dan, I don't
want to pay the union guys to do that.
That'll be good. So I guess we should wrap this up here, guys. ISC is behind us. Let's look forward to SC13 in Denver.
Let's do that. We're looking forward starting now.
That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content, links, and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at RadioFreeHPC.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.